Hello, everybody, and welcome back to yet another Science Studio program. This is Keith Pannell. And today on Science Studio, we've got a special guest who's come a very long way, specifically to be on Science Studio with us. His name is Pravindra Kumar. He's a professor in biotechnology department at the Indian Institute of Technology in the Roorkee. That's up in the northern part of India. And so, Pravindra, welcome very much to Science Studio. And before you start to talk, let me also mention that Professor Russell Chianelli is here this week. And so we're looking forward to an interesting program.
Thank you so much, Keith.
Now, I told the audience that you're in a Department of Biotechnology.
Yeah.
Specifically, you're a biophysicist, which sounds very specific and a sort of interdisciplinary arrangement of biology and physics. And we'll get into all of that. But at the beginning, we like to find out a little bit about who the devil is Pravindra. How did you become a scientist? Go back as early as you can think. There's an interesting story.
So my father was a police inspector, and he used to get the transfer in different place. And the first, when I was in elementary education, so that was in Roorkee. And Roorkee is pretty famous for engineering and science, and they started it in 1847. That was the first engineering institute in Asia. And the people you wanted to get admission in that school, so I had my elementary education near that engineering university. So I had this dream that sometime I could come to this institute to get my education. So that's how in my elementary education, I started dreaming to get into that school. Yeah.
Did you have to go through the quite often Asian experience of lots and lots and lots of study, lots of tutors and all the rest of it in order to be competitive?
I never wanted to take the tuition. Somehow from my childhood, I was a different kind of child in my family. I wanted to do my self-study. And my father, though he was in police, but he was also very good in mathematics. So he used to teach maths, and he used to teach science. And that's what, like, initially I got some time from, in the beginning from my father. And he himself was bachelor in agriculture sciences. So he gave me some sort of ideas in the beginning. He used to discuss things. So that was the whole thing,
That's the best type of tutor to have,
yeah.
An understanding father that can also know when you've had too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely. So there you are. You've got this dream as an elementary school child. You see this institute and you want to come back, but then your father gets moved to another part of India. So you had lots of schools. So when you had a decision, now I've got to go to university or 18 or whatever, what happened?
Yeah, so in my high school, I started thinking about whether, I could take either biology or mathematics. So I had this thing in mind that I wanted to do something for human. However, I was not very comfortable with, handling the animals, and I was not very good in drawing and to make the diagrams. So the biology was kind of tougher for me, but I wanted to understand the human science. For that, I thought that, first I need to understand the basic science. So because of that, I did not take biology in my 11th and 12th grade, but I had mathematics. So I took the physics, chemistry, and mathematics, all three subjects in my undergrad. So there on, I started thinking out of physics, chemistry, maths, which one I should choose. If you want to take physics, physics has everything. So it's a more logical subject. So then I took the physics, and in my master's, I take physics, and I started doing all sort of chemical sciences, mathematical sciences, physical sciences.
And this was at Roorkee?
Yeah.
So you're already back there as a college student?
No, that was in Meerut. It's very near to Roorkee, that other university.
Okay.
Yeah, I did not go to Roorkee for this. So Roorkee was only engineering institute, famous engineering institute. So I wanted to get, education from different places, but get back to Roorkee later on. And then my PhD, I had an opportunity to do PhD in other institute called IIT Delhi, Indian Institute of Technology Delhi. And I got into project there in Center for Energy Studies. But somehow I didn't like that one. So there was a project position in All India Institute of Medical Sciences, where they were working on proteins, and it was a department of biophysics. That was kind of very interesting for me because I had a physics background and there was a biology associated with it. And I wanted to know what they are doing. So I had gone there and I told them that I'm also interested in this. So,
and but you didn't like blood. You didn't want to dissect animals.
Exactly.
You've got these sort of prerequisites, I say, before you would do biophysics.
Yeah, yeah. But then, you know, I wanted to know what they are doing, like, you know, how they are working, like, you know, how the physics is utilized in biology and that too in medical school, and how it is connected in medical school, this biophysics department. So when I went there, so I was told by the professor over there, and then he told me that we work on proteins. And proteins are the basic building blocks for any kind of organism. And if we understand the proteins, we understand the function of any kind of organism. That was kind of very interesting that, you know, that like I had the physics background and I could learn something about biology at that stage. So I started doing project on that. And somehow initial project was related to chemistry. He said, like my professor, that you need to do some crystal and make crystals. Crystals are the like, you know, a small particle, like a sugar particle. He told me that what you need to do is you need to understand initially biology and then work on your physics part. So that was kind of interesting. So I studied again like all my biology books. And I understood the basic biology, and there was an entrance exam that, you know, I'm going back, the question you asked me that how competitive it was. So I gave that entrance exam, and I was not able to qualify that first entrance exam. So 6 months I studied hard, and after 6 months, then I could qualify that entrance exam for this institute called All India Institute of Medical Sciences for PhD admission.
I mean, when you have a title like All Indian Institute of whatever,
yeah,
you realize there's a billion plus yeah people. So the competition to yeah get to the yeah All India Institute
yeah
has got to be,
yeah,
it's almost overwhelming.
Yeah, that was the and top one school, medical school in India. Yeah.
Let me ask you, with these experiences, when you're studying proteins and crystal structure, were you growing crystals or were you calculating on computers?
No, we were growing the crystals. So we were purifying the proteins from milk in, during my PhD. So that used to be either milk proteins or colostrum. That is like the first milk from any mammals. So I was working on a protein called lactoferrin, and it's found in colostrum. And I was working on goat lactoferrin, camel lactoferrin, mare lactoferrin, and we wanted to understand the function of those lactoferrin. So in India, like people try to give this colostrum to, you know, is like a medicine, but nobody knew why they are giving it. So for many kind of disease. And it's kind of Ayurvedic medicine they try to give. And then they wanted to understand in the department that what's the role of this thing. And so so we purified the protein from the colostrum, and then we were crystallizing it. So we got the crystal from different proteins, and we were trying to solve the structure. Those days, solving a structure using X-ray crystallography for protein molecules was kind of difficult. However, we could solve the structure during my PhD.
I want to talk a little bit about that. I don't. I want to listen a little yeah to this business of lactoferrin.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a protein that has iron
yeah
in it, and the iron must be a structural unit and or a reactive site.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that you can have lactoferrin from goats, yeah, mares, camels, giraffes, elephants,
yeah,
people. What are the distinctions between all of these? Can you transfer goat lactoferrin and give it to an elephant and the elephant will be fine? Or are these so, they've got the same name, but their structural units are sufficiently different as to be
yeah
different completely?
Yeah, they are different. They have the like about 50 to 60% identity, and they are kind of different proteins. And
well, let me interrupt there if
yeah
I may. So the 60% equivalent means this 40% very different.
Yeah.
So their overall structures, when you look, are going to be very different. But from the iron point of view, is
yeah
the iron active center basically the same in all of them, and it's just the peripheral structure?
Yeah, it was conserved, it was same. However, the binding capacity of iron was different in different proteins.
Okay.
So that's what the like interesting point. Like in camel lactoferrin, we found that it was very low quantity that iron was there in native structure. And
also, the amount of iron is different also.
Yeah.
So there, in let's say our own lactoferrin, I don't know what it does. Is there one iron, or are there several irons within one unit of the structure?
There are two irons in that.
Okay.
So it has got N lobe and C lobe. So it is divided into, and they are kind of similar structures. So there are two irons in each protein.
Sort of like hemoglobin.
Yeah.
I mean, it got you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Exactly.
So is there a core? Well, what does the iron do in lactoferrin? What's its role?
Yeah, so that's the thing to understand, like, you know, because that, you know, lactoferrin takes away iron from the environment, basically.
Oh, it's a scavenger?
Yeah, scavenger, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's what, like, when bacteria, they want iron to survive on it.
Ah.
So it's kind of interesting part that, you know, if you, you know, lactoferrin can take away the iron from the bacteria, they won't survive it.
And so... So what does the lactoferrin do with the iron once it got it? I mean, it comes to saturation point.
Yeah.
What happens? How does it get excreted or otherwise used?
Without iron, the lactoferrin opens up the lobe. And once iron comes, it closes it up. So then, you know, iron doesn't go out.
Like a Venus flytrap.
Yeah, exactly.
But so what? Then you're going to build up a lot of this encapsulated iron.
Yeah.
So what happens?
Yeah, so that's how, like, you know, and people are utilizing this lactoferrin in different commercial products, like, you know, they use in toothpaste, they use in, like, lot of, you know, food items and all, and that's how they feel that, you know, if we can take it, this thing, then it can keep away the bacteria.
Lactoferrin in my toothpaste?
Yeah.
I've heard of stannous fluoride, but what does it do there?
Yeah, so again, like, you know, when you keep this thing, if there is any kind of, you know, bad bacteria is in your mouth, so it can, you know, take away the iron, and then, like, you know, that's how it can be, like, yeah.
So that iron binding site is really very thermodynamically stable.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sucks iron from almost anywhere.
Yeah.
But how does it then get rid of the iron and get it out of the system?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah, so this is like, it has to be studied further.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's like a lot of work has to be done on this. That has not been done at, like, no.
But they still put it in our toothpaste.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's assume, I'm going to jump ahead here. You just got a PhD and you're ready to go and you get a position in the rookie.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
now
I,
what?
No, after this thing I came to, after doing my PhD, I came to U.S., for my postdoc.
All right.
So I did it at Purdue University. And here I was working in the Department of Biological Sciences. And then, like, I moved after 4 years to IIT Roorkee.
Okay. So that's the first part of your story. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Science Studio, Keith Pannell, Russell Chianelli, and Pravindra Kumar from the IIT in Roorkee in India. We'll be back in one moment. Welcome back to Science Studio. Keith Pannell, Russell Chianelli, Pravindra Kumar from IIT Roorkee. So we've gone through this history, if you like, and delved into something I want to look at more later on myself, and that is this lactoferrin. Now you've got a position.
Yeah.
You now have your career to develop.
Yeah.
Tell us what it is that you're really interested in. What is Pravindra really interested in?
Yeah, so as I told you, my, you know, childhood, I was grown in a small town, Roorkee, and this engineering college that time used to call University of Roorkee, and later on became IIT Roorkee in 2001. So I used to think that why this university was created, what was the reason? So Britishers, during East India Company, they wanted to do something for farmers. So we have called Ganges River, Holy River, we call it. And so this, from this river, they wanted to take the canal, build the canal for the farmers. And during that time, Lieutenant Governor Thomason had thought about it, but there was an engineer, Mr. Cotley, who was really gave this idea that, no, we can have the canal. And they built the canal. And that's the reason they wanted to have this civil engineering school. So that was the initial part, was Thomason in Civil Engineering College, yeah.
But I've been to Roorkee, and it seems to me it's quite away from the Ganges. I mean, it's not exactly on the edge of the Ganges, right?
Exactly.
So a canal is going to be a major feature.
Yeah, so that was the that was about 25 kilometers from the that where they started the canal in Haridwar, and they took it from there to Kanpur. It is about 500 kilometers.
Oh.
So yeah, that was the and it helped so many farmers. But initially, when I read about the history about Roorkee, it was so interesting that Mr. Kotle did a really wonderful work for this country. I mean, when he started, building it up, there was protest was there, and that he didn't have the funds and all those things he created. But that wonderful thing helped so many people now, so many villages, so many farmers in irrigation as well as for drinking water. So,
I can imagine at the beginning, people would say, "Oh, this is our holy river. Don't." Dilute it. Don't take things from
it. Don't touch it.
Leave it alone.
Exactly.
Right.
So I read somewhere again about history, and then Mr. Kotle was a very smart person. And when he started, and he thought that people will protest it. So he started with praying the god Ganesh. And god Ganesh is in India, whenever we start anything, we pray god Ganesh.
I call it Ganesh because I pronounce it badly, but that's the elephant image, right? And you see it in every Indian home.
Yeah.
Right? It's a remarkable
So icon. For anything, doing good thing, we pray Ganesh,
right.
Lord Ganesh. And we respect that way. And then he also respected our Lord Ganesh, and he started that thing. So people thought, oh, he's one of us. And then they felt that whatever he's saying, that, no, I'm doing for, good for the people. So they believed in it. And so they supported.
Yeah. So what you just went through is very interesting. And it was in response to, what do you do and what did you want to do? And it's very interesting that if I was to ask this question to somebody working at the University of Texas at El Paso or Harvard or any other little place like that, you will find an answer which will not start out with this quite spiritual journey.
Yeah.
So what has that got to do with what you study? And I know it does, but tell us.
Yeah. So this was related to water. And I thought that, those guys, they started this engineering institute for, making this canal. And this is definitely, this canal is helping. But now there are other rivers nearby which are being polluted by, some of industrialists and some people around, those river, the villages, and then some of us. And it is being polluted, and people are having disease cancer disease and all those things. And we don't know why it is happening is due to this bad water nearby. That it's not that Ganges water, but I'm saying the other river called Hindon River. And there are paper mills nearby, sugar mills are nearby, and people are dumping a lot of toxic compounds and that municipal waste, other thing. So I thought of that, that long back in 1847, Mr. Kotle thought of, making such a nice canal from, amazing river, and then we have another river. Can we make it better now? So that's the time, we can, make things for our own self, that can we really do something for this? But, when you are associated with some institute and you have to do something for, your own people, you need to do some sort of work which can help
interdisciplinary.
Yeah, interdisciplinary. But my idea was, can I utilize my expertise to do something with this pollution? And so there are microorganisms which grow on those compounds, but they are slowly degrading these toxic compounds. And we know that there are enzymes are responsible for that, proteins are responsible for those things. And because I do protein structures, then I wanted to see that what is the reason that they are doing so slowly degradation of those compounds. Can we speed it up? Can we engineer those enzymes?
Uh-huh.
Can we engineer eventually the bacteria which are able to grow on those compounds? So that was whole idea It was, you can say it's environmental science, but for me, it's again looking at the protein structures. So, and I correlated in a way that, you know, if they are doing slowly, and I'm a protein crystallographer, so I can look at the structure, and on the basis of a structure, I can modify the proteins. I can engineer the proteins. I can engineer the enzymes responsible for the degradation point of view. So that's how we started, isolating the strains which were growing on those toxic compounds, which were in the like soil bacterias. And then we had taken in the laboratory, and we found out there were some bacterias which can grow on these compounds which are lying. They were plastic waste, they were municipal waste, they were pesticides and all. So all aromatic compounds, they have, you know, there are different bacterias are there which grow on them. And when we started working on, like one of the example I'm giving you, there is a PCB degrading enzymes.
That's a polychloridated biphenyl.
Yeah.
It's a well-known industrial material.
Yeah, exactly.
Out there.
And we found out that, you know, this pathway, and we knew this, that this is already known pathway, and I wanted to isolate those genes which are responsible for degradation of these compounds. And I wanted to engineer those enzymes, whether, you know, instead of doing PCB, can it work on other aromatic compounds also, which we found from those, you know, waste. And when we looked at the structure, it was kind of very interesting to see that these strains have that same pathway, most of the strains, but they were also having substrate specificity. So different strain would work on different kind of compounds.
Could you detect, I mean, polychloridated biphenyls?
Yeah.
Poly means several, so there's going to be isomers.
Yeah.
Did you ever find a bacterium that would degrade one isomer compared to another?
Yes. So we could see that, initially we could see that they were able to grow on biphenyl, but then they were specific, like, you know, if orthochlorinated biphenyls, there were some bacteria which will, you know, grow only on orthochlorinated biphenyls. Some of them would work only on metachlorinated biphenyls.
Oh.
Some would grow only on para-substituted chlorinated biphenyls. And it was so interesting that those enzymes from different, species, they were so close. One of them, Pseudomonas LB400 and Pseudomonas KF707, which is well-characterized already in US also. And they could tell that, one is working on para-substituted chlorinated biphenyl, the other one is working on ortho-substituted, PCBs. But the identity is almost 97% sequence identity. So it's about out of 460 amino acids, 20 were different. So,
and that was sufficient to detect one isomer from another.
Yeah. And then when we have the structure, we need to understand that how those amino acids are oriented in the enzyme's active site, and what are those crucial, amino acids which are playing those roles. Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Are there metals involved in this? Are these metalloenzymes?
Yes, it's a metalloenzyme. It's a known heme iron. They are risky dioxinase which initiate the reaction. So how it works, that's how my whole idea was to understand this, how these enzymes works, how, oxygen gets inserted into those aromatic compounds, and how these, aromatic amino acids, which in the active site, plays different role in different kind of species. So that sort of work we could do when we did the structure, and I did in the collaboration with Purdue University, initially, and with the collaboration of British Columbia in Canada, as well as in Montreal. So there were like 3-4 universities together. I was a crystallographer, and then we had the microbiologist from Canada.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to know is, was there anything else that you could add to make them grow faster? The reason I'm asking that is, we were feeding the hydrocarbon degraders and oil spills, nitrogen and phosphorus, and then they would spring up.
Yeah. So we can have, sometime we can make the cocktail of the bacterias, and together the cocktail can work better in synergistic effect.
Even on a single isomer?
Not single isomer. Okay. I'm saying like different the kind of mixture of compounds.
Mixture.
Are like,
yeah, right. Yeah. I can understand that. But yeah. I was thinking.
So what's the cocktail?
So cocktail could be like different strains. We can mix it up. Like, you know, we know that what are the different kind of enzymes they would be having. The one is expressing more, the other one is less. So we can see that which is specific for which one. So that sort of thing can be done. And but the another interesting part which I started doing was like phthalate dioxygenase. And phthalate dioxygenase was really, you know, the phthalates are utilized in plastics. And that's for durability, flexibility, and all. And we all use plastics every day. And we use it and we throw it. And that's how, like, you know, even like toys, like children's are playing with those, you know, they make the shape. These phthalates are required for everything. And it has been shown that they are really, really harmful for our health. They cause cancer, neurodegenerative disease, and many more disease, reproductive problem, and all.
We've just got a couple of minutes left. Just say something very briefly, well, maybe only 1 minute, about the environmental movement in India. It's a big country, billion of people.
Yeah.
How do you handle an environment over there?
Yeah, so current government has made a big move, like Namami Gange, Clean Gange, and they are working on it. And in last 5 years, there has been improvement in cleaning the Ganga and other river, but it has to go a long way.
Yeah. I mean, I know at the very top, near where Roorkee is and Haridwar.
Yeah.
I've been there and I've dipped myself in that cold Himalayan water.
Yeah.
It's reasonably clean there, but I mean, it's got a long way to go before it reaches the ocean.
Exactly.
And that's a major issue.
Yeah.
But being a religious river, all of India would be quite prepared to make sacrifices.
Yeah, we will all have to make the efforts, whether we scientists and, you know, general public. Everybody has to stop throwing the, you know, these contaminated things, plastics and other compounds, whatever they are using it at home. So they have to stop polluting any river or any soil. Or that's how we can. Everybody has to make efforts, not only government. We all have to make the efforts. Yeah.
Hey, Pravindra Kumar, IIT Roorkee, it's been a delight to have you here on the radio show. I'd like to thank you very much. I wish you best of luck with all your studies. And it's nice, it's another one of Russ's famous interdisciplinary projects. And so thank you very much for
being here. Thank you very much, Keith, and thank you very much, Russell. And thanks a lot for inviting me here.
And we'd like to thank Sam, good old Sam Cassiano, for putting this thing together.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week with another Science Studio. Bye-bye.